Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Grill at the Game, and today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So I'm recording this late on Friday, April 2nd. It's about 10 p.m., and I just got home from going to Red Sox opening day, and I'm not going to lie, it was pretty incredible. Not really concerned with winning or losing, though I will touch on some of the points from today's game. But I figured today's episode, I would just talk about what it was like to go to Fenway Park as a fan and what the experience was like at the ballpark with 12% capacity and just how it felt to be back after 551 days since the final game of the 2019 season, when I sat there and watched a very different team walk it off, actually against the same team that they lost to today. So for starters, today I didn't have media access. I wasn't in the press box. I just went to the game as a fan. I wanted my first game back at the ballpark to be a fan game, the way I grew up, just getting to be there for fun. And while I did post a Locked On Now video with my postgame reaction as soon as the game was over, which you can find on Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter, I really wanted to just take in the entire experience as a Red Sox fan. So that's what I did. And I'll pretty much walk you through my day in case you weren't getting the play-by-play from me on Twitter. I got to the ballpark around 1:30. The security was a lot different looking. There were socially distant lines and people had to stay far apart. And obviously Fenway had 12% capacity. So being a ballpark that seats about 37,700 people on a regular game day during pre-COVID times, and hopefully one day very soon, that meant that capacity for opening day was 4,400 people. Honestly, by my eye test, it didn't look like the ballpark was at its full 12% capacity. And it is interesting to note that Fenway had the smallest capacity allowed of any of the 30 major league ballparks. Yankee Stadium, of course, is a bigger ballpark than Fenway. I think every single ballpark at this point is, because Fenway is so old and they've added a lot of seats since John Henry and his group bought the ballpark just to even make it the 37,000 plus that it is now. But Yankee Stadium had 20% capacity for their opening day yesterday, and they required proof of COVID vaccination or proof of negative COVID test to enter the ballpark. Fenway did not require that, though I will say that myself and my Girl at the Game podcast co-host Alexandra Francisco, who covers Boston sports for NESN, we both have been tested recently and are negative, and also didn't do anything but go to the game today, where we sat outdoors in masks. I'm just going to put that out there to begin this episode. But we got to our seats in the left field grandstand, and we were sitting not near anybody else. And it's interesting to note that when we got to our seats, we found that every single seat was bound shut with a strong zip tie. And what I mean by that is the back of the seat and the actual seat of your ticketed seat were attached to each other so that people couldn't go and break the rules by sitting in large groups. Certain seats were just off limits. And basically, I guess what they were doing was having a ballpark attendant come and cut open the zip tie on your seat once you showed them the ticket. There weren't any ballpark attendants when we were in our area, so we just kind of put our feet down really hard on the seat and made the zip tie break open, which I felt super guilty about as soon as we did it, because I was genuinely worried that those 100-year-old seats would just splinter, but thankfully they didn't. So there were measures in place everywhere around the ballpark, including those zip ties, to make sure that people were socially distanced and were sitting in their seats. There were extra people walking around the ballpark, making sure people were wearing their masks. You had to wear your mask at all times except when you were in your seats eating and drinking. And you were encouraged to wear your mask when you were in your seats if you were not consuming food and drink. When we got to the food and drink portion of our day, and by that I mean when we got so cold that I was like, I need to get a hot chocolate from the Dunkin' stand, we went down to the concourse and discovered that the majority of the kiosks for food and drink were actually closed. There were very few. And my only issue with this, obviously, the fewer employees you can have in the ballpark, the safer it is. But my only issue with this was that it ended up creating kind of a little bit of a crowded situation in the main area of the ground floor of the concourse, because that's where the majority of the food was being sold. And it was pretty hard to social distance when you were in line for food and there were no markers on the floor. So I was a little bit worried about that, but thankfully we got our very expensive hot chocolate, which, by the way, if you're wondering for future reference for a Red Sox game, we paid $8.75 for the commemorative cup hot chocolates. And the only reason we bought the commemorative cups was because the Dunkin' stand, which is where we would have gotten better hot chocolate for about half the price, was closed. So yes, Fenway Park, still super expensive in case you were wondering. Now, before I talk about the actual game, we have to talk about BetOnline. I'm not sure if you placed a bet on today's Red Sox game, but hopefully you bet on the Orioles because this game was a loss. But BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but Major League Baseball is finally back, and you've got the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. We've got the UConn women's game on the TV right now as I'm recording this. And if you're not into those sports, I'm so glad you're listening to my podcast. I'm a little confused, but thank you. But BetOnline has something for you too, because they even cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. We've got a promo code locked on so that when you go to their website or use your mobile device to sign up, you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Locked On Today podcast has all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, and I was actually on the show today talking about opening day around Major League Baseball and talking to the wonderful host Peter Bukowski about the Red Sox in particular as well. He has you updated on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So let's talk about this game for a little bit, because I did not sit in the stands at Fenway Park for 4 hours in the freezing cold until my hands turned purple to not give you a recap of what turned out to be a very disappointing opening day at Fenway Park. Now, for starters, I just have to say, I was so grateful and felt so fortunate that I was one of those, 4,000 or so people who were able to go to the first game that fans were allowed at the ballpark since September 29th, 2019. I don't take that for granted at all. I literally could not have cared less if they won or lost. I was just so happy to be there. That being said, this game was kind of a bummer. For starters, the Red Sox over the last 2 or so years have not played very well at Fenway Park. They have played better on the road than they have at home. In the mercifully shortened 2020 Red Sox season, they finished the season 5th in the American League, 24-36. They won 11 games at home and lost 20. They won 13 on the road and lost 16. In 2019, they finished the season 84-78, third in the American League East. They won 38 games at home and lost 43. They won 46 games on the road and lost 35. Now, by comparison, the historic 2018 season, in which they won a franchise record 108 games and finished the season first in the American League, my, how the mighty have fallen, they won 57 games at home and won only 51 games on the road. So this is a team that, for whatever reason, they are having some kind of problem winning in America's most beloved ballpark. So, when you have two of the teams that are predicted to be two of the least impressive teams in the American League this season, and they're duking it out at Fenway Park, you would think that maybe, by the virtue of the fact that neither is expected to be very good, maybe they would at least put on a little bit of a show. But instead, what we got today was the Red Sox barely being able to get a hit and being shut out in their own ballpark. The Red Sox managed two hits today, a leadoff hit by Kike Hernandez in the first inning, and then a two-out double in the ninth inning by J.D. Martinez. The Orioles, meanwhile, had 9 hits total off of starter Nathan Eovaldi and the ensuing bullpen disaster. Now, look, again, I don't really care. I'm just giving you the recap of the game. Nathan Eovaldi was great today. He went 5.1 innings. He struck out 4 batters. You know he's not a big strikeout guy. I believe his career high is 10 strikeouts in a game. Not a big strikeout guy, but he's effective when he's on. So 4 strikeouts, only gave up 4 hits, walked a single batter, went 5.1 innings pitched. But his pitch count was high. So Cora pulled him, and he put in Matt Andrees, and then Josh Taylor, and then Austin Bryce, and then I think Hirokazu Sawamura. And at that point, I just kind of lost track. It was not great. You know, it's one game, literally, it's the first game of the season, so it's not a big deal. But what was more frustrating to me was that the Red Sox offense just finished spring training, and I know these games don't count, but the Red Sox offense just finished spring training, leading the Grapefruit League in home runs, runs, batting average, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, finished second in OPS. I'm missing a stat, but suffice to say, the Red Sox offense was red hot during spring training. And I know that that doesn't always translate. Sometimes you have an amazing spring and a terrible regular season. Sometimes you have a terrible spring and you have a great season. Sometimes it's somewhere in between. But I expected the Red Sox to do a little bit more than piece together 2 hits literally in the first at bat and the second to last at bat of the game. Maybe score a run. Maybe not get shut out in your own ballpark. John Means, who is a former All-Star, started for the Orioles today. He went 7 full innings, only gave up 1 hit to Kike Hernandez, struck out 5. So we ended up having a pretty good starting pitching matchup. But overall, the thing that was most disappointing to me wasn't the bullpen, because I don't really expect much of the bullpen. They haven't proven themselves to be anything yet because it's literally the first day of the season. But I do expect more from this offense, because you have a bunch of World Series champs on this offense. You have a bunch of AL MVP finalists, all-stars, you know, award-winning players. You have Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, Kike Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez. I just named 5 World Series champions, some of them multiple World Series champions. This is a lineup that should be hitting, and that's what the Red Sox need if they want to have even a chance of sniffing a wild card or just finishing above 500 this season, because the pitching is the biggest question mark. And the offense is going to have to do what it's done the last 2 years, or at least attempted to do, have the pitchers' backs, because the offense is supposed to be the thing on this team that we can count on. And I know we're missing Mookie and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Andrew Benintendi and Mitch Moreland and Brock Holt. We've lost a lot of special guys on this team over the last 2 years, but we still have an extremely talented and potent offense, and we saw it for literally a month in Florida. We know they can do it. It's just a matter of figuring out what's stopping them from scoring runs in their own ballpark. Now, before I wrap up today's episode, we have to talk about Built Bar, because they've got their Built Bar matchups going on right now. You're talking about March Madness. They are doing Built Bar Madness. They are going head-to-head on all of their amazing flavors. Built Bar makes protein bars that taste like candy bars. Each bar is soft, easy to chew, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Each is coated in 100% chocolate. These bars are insane. I don't know how they do it. For a limited time only, they're doing their Built Bar Madness matchups. So you can go online to builtbar.com or to their Twitter @bar_built to vote on new matchups every day and find out which bar is going to be the best bar of them all. And when you go to their website, you can use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. If you're the type of fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Podcast, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So here I am sitting in my house at 10:26 p.m. on Friday, April 2nd, and we are officially back in the stands at Fenway Park. I still don't really know how to describe what it felt like today to walk into the ballpark. I'm still cold. I'm still happy. I feel like I'm kind of walking on air. I think the craziest thing was that it felt both like I had never left and like it had been forever since I had been there. And I'm not really sure how those two things coalesce because they're exactly the opposite. But there were moments where I was like, I can't believe it's been 551 days since I've sat in this ballpark during a game. And there were other moments where it feels like that warm September afternoon with Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound was just yesterday. I will say the one thing that really bummed me out, and I don't want to end this episode on a low note, so I'll say this and then I will get back to happy, but by about the sixth or seventh inning, most of the fans in our section had left. And I understand that it's cold. You know, I couldn't feel my hands for like a solid hour after the game. It's not the greatest weather to be sitting there in 40, 35 degree weather on a Friday evening watching a team that isn't hitting. But I grew up in the David Ortiz era when you waited until the ninth inning because you knew that even if you were down by a few runs and there were two outs in the ninth, you could still come back. There was still a chance. What bummed me out was all of these people realizing or expecting by the sixth or seventh inning it wasn't going to happen for this team today. And again, I get it. It's cold. People are tired. We're not used to being around other people. A lot of people still aren't vaccinated. It just made me a little sad. It's not a judgment. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it kind of made me sad. You know, it's pretty rare that I will leave a Red Sox game early. There are very few reasons that I would ever leave a game early. I'm the kind of person that will sit at a game until the bitter end. I've done it so many times. I did it like every single day in 2019. I did it at game 3 of the 2018 World Series for almost 8 hours. That's just the kind of person I am, and that's not an indictment on people who aren't. But for it to be opening day at Fenway after a year and a half away from the ballpark, and for people to leave in the sixth or seventh inning, I just couldn't believe it, and it just bummed me out. It seemed to me like an indicator of how a lot of fans feel about this team right now. And what we need is to get away from that mentality and get back to sticking with this team until the final out. It wasn't a great game, but it was a great day. It was so beautiful at Fenway. Like, it was more beautiful than I remembered. I was just kind of staring at everything. The grass was greener. The monster was greener. The sky was bluer. The seats were redder. The uniforms were pristine. And it was just, it was Fenway. It felt like a dream. So this has been your first post-game episode of Locked On Red Sox since the season that we shall not discuss anymore. It's a new season. We're turning the page, as they love to say, over there at 4 Jersey Street, Fenway Park. And I'm just so excited. Win or lose, I'm just so excited to have baseball back and to be able to walk into Fenway Park. You know, I used to go over to Fenway Park during the winter and just kind of walk around there. I'd take the dog and walk around or just stand outside and just wonder when I would get to go back in. And today I did. And if you're listening to this and you watched at home today, I hope that you get to come back soon too. I wish I could take all of you with me. So thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you can follow Locked On Red Sox on Twitter at @LO_RedSox. You can follow me on Twitter at @GFSTARR1. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for sticking with me this off season. And as always, and tomorrow, go Red Sox.